Welcome back for the afternoon service. We'll be starting in our older hymnals, number 631. 631, Soldiers of Christ Arise.
Sixty-eight. First and last.
If the Lord my Savior comes, we'll do the first and the last. Stand as we sing this last one together, and let's go ahead and sing the first, the third, and the fifth.
Thank you. right, Lucas, let's try again. See if we get the front. We very graciously now have light switches up in the booth, but the ones here are still active too. And so I was watching down there, it's getting flipped, and there it's getting flipped down. I hadn't told everybody about where the switches. That was great. The topic, how individuals bless the body. I hope you find it very informative. I really appreciate the testimony, didn't you all? Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's wonderful, wonderful assurance. Another truth as repeated over and over there, Josh, is to the glory of his grace, the praise of the glory of his grace. Over and over, we're told that's why this occurs, all to the praise of the glory of his grace. Wonderful testimony. Okay, the topic is how individuals bless the body. And the text we're starting with, we're doing belief because this morning we talked about unbelief, and I wanted to have a positive note to end on, the blessing of belief. The testimony of Peter in John 6:69 is, we believe and are sure. Let's pray. God be praised. Lord, we can go through the various machinations of a worship service and fellowship and all which has its place. It's biblical and we're thankful for it. But what we want most of all is contact with the living God. What we want most of all is to have fellowship with the living God. We know Christ has won this for us so that we can enter into the very holy place boldly through the veil and come and worship and fellowship with our God. This is life eternal, to know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Bless us to that end, and teach us how we can be a blessing in this text. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we haven't looked at the Gospel of John for a while, so I should probably review what's happening in John chapter 6. The mob is following Jesus because he's doing miracles left and right. Boom, 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 boom. People are laying their loved ones in the streets. They're falling after, trying to touch him. And he's just knocking out one problem after another. It's just amazing. Wherever he goes, this mob is following, because to watch it, let alone to experience it, was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So a mob is following Jesus for his miracles. Jesus then feeds them all, thousands of them. He feeds them miraculously. Then he retreats up a mountain while the disciples get in the boat and go across the Sea of Galilee. And as they're crossing it, they get caught in a great storm and they fear for their lives. Then they see Jesus walking on the water and he enters the ship. Next day, the mob didn't have boats, so they go around the horn and come on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And they're still following after Jesus. Oh, just a mob, thousands. If you can picture a cloud of dust. And here are 12 people walking, here are 13 or so. And then here's just hundreds and thousands of people following after. A huge mob following the next day. What does Jesus do? He says, oh, right, getting a big following here. No, he turns and rebukes them. He rebukes their motives. And he sifts the true ones from the false ones by his harsh words. What does he say? I'll tell you why you're following me. You're following me because you got food to eat. It's all your selfish blessings that you are seeking. He rebukes them for their motives for following him. And after he says this, they say, these are hard words. Who can hear this? Yeah, he says, you think those are hard words? Except you eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoa, you think he wants to remove the crowd? He wants everybody to hate him. No, what he wants is people who follow him and believe his words no matter what he says. They all leave him after he gives those hard words. Mob leaves and they follow him no more. Next comes these glorious words. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He didn't say, thou hast the food. Thou hast the miracles. He says, thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. John 6, 67 through 69. Some observations. The searching pathos in Jesus' question. Imagine this. He just sees the mobs turn away and leave him. He turns to his 12 and he says, will you also go away? Then we have the wise perception of Peter's answer. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Some of the best things Peter's ever said is life. And then there's the glorious power of his confession. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. John chapter 6 is a glorious chapter. We see the searching pathos in Jesus' question. The wise perception of Peter's answer and the glorious power of his confession. In addition, did you also notice this? Excuse me. The implications of his collective statement. He says, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. He doesn't say, and I believe and I'm sure, but he says, we believe and are sure. The point is that Peter and the guys, they talk this over. Peter's a spokesman for the group. They talk this over. They talked it over a lot. They mulled enough that Peter was confident not only to speak for the group, but describe their focus, which is on the words. They've talked this through. You say, I saw a dead man live again. I saw a lame person walk. I saw a blind person see. All that stuff, yes, it's affirmation. But you know what really grips me? Yeah, it grips me too. Yeah, me too. What is it? His words. No man ever spake like him. His words. Yes, Peter knew it well enough. He knew the group attitude, that he could express for all of them what was their focus, the words. And the process. We believe and have come to be sure. There's a process here. There came a day we didn't believe at all. There came a day we saw he was something different. And then when we put this together and time goes on, we've come to the point, Lord, we are sure. That was the process. And then finally their conclusion. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. So the Holy Spirit of God used the tools of groupthink. Words fitly spoken. Speech seasoned, as it were, with salt. Brethren dwelling together in unity. These are tools here. It's something we see. It's one of the most important chapters, I think, in all the New Testament. John chapter 6. Yet the whole spread of things going on, healing and teaching and mobs and eccentric behavior and rejection, then the great testimony that shows a divide, the separation between those who believe and why and those who are there for the ride and the entertainment and left. I'd like to compare some similar verses. What we're getting to is the significance of groupthink, of how you can bless the brethren. How did you come to your understanding here? Maybe isolated just you in a vacuum. Maybe because he and she and they have been, we've been going the same direction and we sharpen each other and we're coming to a point of realization and of spiritual maturity we would not have had if it had not been for the group. That's what's being taught here. For example, Mark 8:16, and they reasoned among themselves. Okay, so their group discussion is because we have no bread. See, that's where Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. They must be talking about if we buy bread from the Pharisees, watch out because it's not good bread. But they don't get it at all. But the point is they're trying to figure it out as a group. They reasoned among themselves. Luke 5:26, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. John 16:30, now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. John 20, verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. 1 John, we're just about done here in the introduction. I'd like you to see it's all through. For example, John, his first letter, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and which was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, 1 through 3. Here's what we're leading up to. And this is a short message. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. We're all familiar with this text, I expect. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You realize it's actually the third let us in the text? Let us consider one another how to provoke unto love and good works and all that. That's the third let us. What precedes it? The stuff you must do. You must do this. Let us do this. Let us do this. Then we get to the point where we can do this and have our fellowship be effective. You know what the two let us's are which precede that one? There's number three. Let us consider one another. And by the way, don't get scared off by the provoke. Voke is a word for call in Latin. Vocary. And pro means forth. So it means literally to call forth. Open sesame. Draw out. Open the doors. Open the windows and bring them out. Let us consider one another how we can draw out of each other the love and good works which is there. There's a way to get her to be a good worker and a lover of God. There's a way that he can do this. And how's it going to happen? Not in isolation, not all alone, but the design of God is the church body. That's why all these testimonies by Peter and John and the other disciples that we looked at say, we know, we have considered, now we believe, and we can declare. There's an awareness of what's going on in the minds of the body. Let us, now what are the two let us's that precede the text we know? Here's the first one, let us draw near. That's first. You want to help this body, you draw near to the Lord. You're not going to draw near to the Lord, you won't be as effective, you won't be following the design of God as much as God has given the design. Let us draw near. How do you do that? With a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. That's kind of the Old Testament process. That's the background. That's the analogy of come clean. Come clean so that you can draw near to God and not have your conscience hold you back. You got to come clean. You got to confess your sin. You got to come to the Lord and ask him to forgive you. Take your sins one by one. Work it through. Confess them. I'll tell you this morning, early this morning, we're here at church, Carol and I are, and I had this sense that I'm not walking with the Lord like I must walk with the Lord. And I asked the Lord, what is it I must do? And I really didn't want to hear his answer. Because there's something where we've talked about, you shouldn't just go there at that site at all. It's got some good stuff, but they're not watching out for your soul. And you never know where a word might come out, or an image might come out, or a concept, or just the worldliness generally. Just get away. And I had to confess to her, I did not completely do that. There were some reasons, not good ones. But I thought, you know, until I, this confession to you all too, I'm not going to have the power that must rest upon me if I don't draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Paul said, herein do I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. That's what he exercises in gymno, like the gym class. That's what he does regularly. They have a conscience, not the big stuff taken out, but a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. You want to have an impact in this church? Draw near to God. And that's going to involve being honest and clean and right and confessing humble toward him and toward those we've offended. Let us draw near with a true heart. Secondly, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. You see the sequence there? First, you've got to have contact with a living God. Humble yourself. Let him lift you up by his grace. Now, as you move forward, be consistent. You hold on to the profession of your faith. Don't waver to the left or the right. Don't look there. Look, let your eyes look right on and keep marching forward. Then you're going to have the impact on others that you could have. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as a matter of some is, but all the more as you see the day approaching, be faithful to the body. This isn't about you. This isn't about just you and your family. This is about us. The design of God is the local church. That's the means by which we stir up one another, call forth something from one another. He's good at this area. She's had that experience. He's got this gift. We all together become a lean, clean, fighting machine. And that's the design of God. It's the providence of God. That's how he set this up. So let us draw near. Let us hold fast. Let us consider one another. Do you know, have you experienced this part of the Christian life? Let's discuss how individuals bless the body. Has anyone ever provoked you unto love and good works or exhorted you? Describe. Anybody want to give a testimony even now as we're sitting here? Has anyone ever provoked you, drawn forth out of you love and good works, and how did it occur? Well, you all think on it. And well, somebody's hands up. I see somebody pointing over there. Oh, Alex. Stand up, sir. Thought that may not have occurred to you just isolated. She was able to contribute for the fulfilling of what you see as your calling. You want to have something ready to be said when you're called to give some, to say something. Yeah, excellent. Good example. Anybody else? I know it's kind of hard. You think about that. Has there been somebody, you don't have to say the word now, it may not be somebody in this room, of course. Somebody inspired you, you found yourself following after by just observing or being near or recognizing something was done that was right that you want to emulate. Let's go back up and we'll just leave it right there. Just to help us to put this in a long-term memory, would you read these 3 points with me? Then we'll pray and then we'll sing our final hymn. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's step one. Secondly, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Thirdly, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Our Heavenly Father, we are just people. We are people who come out of a sinful condition and who are not totally transformed yet into the image of Christ, but we are people that God can control and transform and use. If God can do something with the jawbone of a donkey, if God can do something with a rock, if God can do something with a stick, he can do something with us if we would but present ourselves to those alive from the dead. And so we do. The fact that we are here, this time, this age, this city, this country, this state of the church, in our age and our life experiences, the opportunities we have, it could be we don't know exactly what we should do and when we should do it, but we see a process here that by the power of God it can be accomplished. And oh, for the glory of God, I say for the advancing of the kingdom of God, for the Lord to be acknowledged to be Lord, we pray that a transformation and an impact of that transformation would occur even through us by the power of God working through the word of God. And all the people said, Amen. Let's sing a final hymn.
Number 634 in the older hymnal, number 634, Fight the Good Fight.